everybody! Welcome back to the S&P Now! It's episode 38 for March 18th, recording on St. Patrick's Day. Josh, who's sponsoring us today, oh lad?
Well, this week's episode is brought to you by Lookout Ski Shop. It's the spring clearance sale at Lookout Ski Shop. Receive 50% off the regular price on all jackets, pants, hats, and gloves. Receive 40% off regular price skis, boards, boots, and bindings. Their spring clearance sale is going on now through March 31st. Visit Lookout Ski Shop at 401 Bunker Avenue in Kellogg or check out their website at lookoutskishop.com.
Sounds like a hell of a deal.
Oh, dear.
All right.
Good thing.
Done with that now.
I'll say, as long as no potato jokes come into play, that's not racist,
mostly
right?
Mostly Irish. It's okay.
I mean, we're both mostly Irish, yeah, but I don't know.
Still, though, it's like there's one. We have like one Irish listener that's just like, wow, it's really offensive.
That's really terrible. That's good for you.
It's really terrible.
Oh, jeez. Well,
I'm going to go over there and have a proper Donnybrook.
Wait, did you?
What?
Did you just add multiple cultures together?
No, Donnybrook is, it's yeah, I know that's from Letterkenny, but Donnybrook is actually originally an Irish term.
Those Irish Canadians.
You know, Irish Canadians invented hockey, right?
I don't believe that.
They did. Irish Canadian. They were Irish immigrants to Canada.
Chalk that up to not their best.
They were ice skating and then they started fighting on the ice and then that created hockey. I don't know if that last part's true, but it was Irish immigrants to Canada that created,
created
the sport. In any case, Josh, I normally ask you at this point what's going on, but...
What isn't going on?
Yeah, we're not... There's not a lot going on. I mean, there is a lot going on, but at the same time, there isn't a lot going on because everything's getting canceled.
Everything has been shut down.
It's not good.
We are in...
Lockdown. Quarantine.
It is not good.
No, it's not good.
It's not bad. It's not.
No, I mean, in all honesty, it's not. So this isn't 28 days later.
A few weeks ago, we made a few jokes, and I got to walk them back. I got to do my best Mike Pence impression.
Okay.
There has been a lot of irresponsible rhetoric.
Right.
About COVID-19. Dr. Spitter, well, I apologize for calling you Dr. Droplet. I still think it's a vastly superior name.
It is, I agree.
And given the situation, you should think about changing it. Mm-hmm. But I apologize nonetheless. And we are now taking this more seriously than we did 2 weeks ago.
More serious, but not panicking.
Right.
Okay, as the soundbite suggests, we are not panicking. And I think our interview today, well, actually we have two interviews for you today, both regarding the hot topic going on right now. Not the store hot topic, the viral conversation piece at the moment, COVID-19. We have on today Catherine Hoyer from Panhandle Health, and we also have Dr. Robert Lawhorn.
Lawhorn.
Yes. Did I say that? Yeah.
I think you said lawn.
I think I did say lawn. That's
Lawhorn.
Lawhorn. Yes.
And it's Dr. David Lawhorn.
I thought it was Robert.
No. You're wrong on all accounts.
I'll just edit all that out. in any case, both of them are coming in. Talking to us over the phone because we can't have people in.
Yeah, and there's not enough room to social distance four people in this room unless we played four corners.
Pretty much. Not that any of our listeners are avid visitors of our office, but if you tried, we wouldn't let you in anyway.
Not allowed.
All the doors are locked. You cannot come in. No one can come in.
Under the guise.
And I couldn't even get in.
The operation of the He-Man Woman Haters Club.
Exactly.
Kidding. Carrie said that you're not allowed. And you can knock all you want, and all we're going to do is look at you through our windows.
Yeah, we won't even wave.
No.
Stare at you.
In fact, we don't even... No, we do. We want you to slide your money through the little mail slot.
We do.
But want that. Other than that, don't try to talk to us.
Exactly. Per health regulations.
Per health regulations, we... would prefer that if you kept your social distance from us.
Per standard operating
procedure. 6 feet away. Chance and I are 6 feet away. As we sit here, ignore that cough. He is not contagious.
No, I'm fine. I was clearing my throat.
But, you know, last week, so we've got an interesting podcast for you guys today. Obviously, there's going to be a emphasis kind of on COVID-19.
It's been the talk of the town.
But last week we did have a newspaper on Friday.
Yes.
That was still chock full of local news.
Yep.
There was a little coronavirus info in there, but we still got regular.
Did we bring in one of those papers?
One of the new ones?
Yeah. Like one of the ones from last week.
No, I got it on the. I got the e-edition pulled up.
Oh, okay.
I'm going green.
Okay. I'm gonna have to do that too
because Earth friendly.
I wrote an election story, so.
Earth friendly, bro.
I believe you. It is.
In the toilet paper crisis, we need to preserve our newspaper.
Stop hoarding toilet paper. Stop hoarding anything.
Stop hoarding paper products. You'll hear later on from
you can listen to, you know, take our opinion for what it's worth, but we've got an actual health professional.
If you're a hoarder, you're about to get chastised by a health professional.
You are.
It's going to be great. You're going to have to just take your lumps.
Yep.
That being said, in the event that we come up with some sort of really horrible virus that causes diarrhea, I'm wondering if the same logic will apply and you guys will all go out and buy nasal spray. Coronavirus, respiratory.
I get it.
You get it? You feel me?
I feel you.
You feel me?
I feel you.
Okay. So, you got to pull up your election story, but the headline from the Friday, March...
There we go.
13th?
Yep. Friday, March 13th. So the headline, voters approve school levies on election night.
Yeah.
So some good news coming from the schools.
Hip hip hooray.
Yeah. No surprise on these fronts, but the primaries, Donald Trump won the Republican primary here in Shoshone County, and Joe Biden also won the Democratic primary in Shoshone County. So all front runners and that kind of thing. So based on numbers that I got from the courthouse, my election story was actually not as strong as it normally is, and I will just blatantly admit, because Josh and I stayed up till basically 11 o'clock that night going over the numbers, and they didn't necessarily add up.
Oh, God.
We got a hold of the election office, and they basically said it's basically a formula. It was due to a formula that was implemented from the state of why numbers didn't add up. So I just take my rough estimates on this, roughly 39% of voters turned out on election day last Tuesday. Both sides, Kellogg School District levy, that was passed, 1,019 votes in favor of to 578 against. So
to the tune of like 64% passage rate.
Almost the supermajority needed to pass all the other fun stuff.
Right.
I don't know if that would translate. It probably would.
Translates differently because of the money numbers and everything.
Absolutely.
Replacement levies. And like we've said, let me pound this home. These are replacement of existing levies. Yes, Kellogg's did increase by about $46 per person per $100,000 of property. Mm-hmm. But it's still essentially the exact same levy that we've been paying for at least the last 12 years. Mm-hmm. So... don't act like this is something new. It's not something new. It is the same thing. And the same thing in Wallace. In fact, in Wallace, it was the exact same thing.
Right.
They didn't change their dollar amount or year or anything.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And in fact, with fluctuating housing markets, you're probably paying less.
There you go. All right. You good now?
Yeah.
Do you have a similar spiel when I get to Wallace?
I just did Wallace.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, Wallace was the exact same.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. I don't know what theirs passed a little bit more narrow, and in fact,
and at that's one historical.
Point, yeah,
that's always been historical.
I was a little nervous for a while because the absentee vote was like,
yeah, oh, absentee vote.
They got killed in absentee, but then.
The Kellogg School District levy is a $5,970,000 levy. That's $2,985,400 per year. This is, like Josh said, it's a supplemental replacement levy. Just funds existing things. Definitely not. It has nothing to do with the facilities bond that was tried to pass twice. As for Wallace, Wallace passed. Let me pull this up. Wallace School District passed 492 votes in favor of to 376 against. So a bit narrower margin, but still passed, easily winning the simple majority. Their levy, unchanged, is a $3,600,000 levy, so that's $1,800,000 per year, and that will take effect on July 1st, when the old one expires. Going over to the primaries, Donald Trump, he easily won the Republican primary with 1,336 votes. I didn't list out all of the other ones because his five opponents' combined totals only equaled 48 votes.
Although, if we're voting off best name, Rocco De La Fuente.
De La Fuente
is easily the best name in the race.
Fun fact, also, for this election, I also helped out. They're the election. They're the election people. The national election people. I can't remember their name. What are they called?
The Electoral College.
No, not I. I don't think the Electoral College is something that I can call.
Yes.
I can't call the election.
You can apply.
Edison Research. That's what they are. So I worked with Edison Research. They wanted to know what our local numbers are. And trying to listen to part-time employees at Edison Research try to say De La Fuente on election night was a gem.
Probably be more accurate Rocky if it was called Tesla Research.
Rocky De La... And then I would just read the number because I knew they weren't going to get through it.
And you just come out real hard. La Fuente!
Wow. There's some energy right there.
That's how I would do it.
Uh-huh. And then on the Democratic side of things, this one was actually a little closer, but with national trends kind of trending toward Joe Biden, Biden the favorite in the Democratic Party at the moment, he took Shoshone County. 577 votes to the closest Bernie Sanders coming in second with 324 votes. So Sanders made a decent push, but and then everybody else was a distant third.
genuinely surprised at the number of Democratic voters, though.
From Shoshone County.
I feel like there were a lot.
There's a lot of registered Democrats in Shoshone County.
Did you think that over 1,000 would vote in the primary? No.
Yeah, but
you had to think about it. No.
Yeah, I had to think. Well, okay, but it's also tied in with two school levies. Like, people are there already. Like, say I'm there to go for
vote. Yeah, but we actually discovered that less people voted for the presidential than they did for the
levy. For the levies. The levies had about 300 more participants, I believe.
Yeah.
And
those levies...
We're going off certain
towns.
Right. So, of course, these are unofficial numbers. Just letting you know.
They were like supposed to be canvassed.
Like I prefaced before, the election totals that we were sent from the county did not add up, really. We did our own math, and they just didn't add up to totals that we wanted.
Right.
So I took the numbers that I was confident with, the ones that I garnered on election night, and we ran with it. Maybe if we get the updated numbers, we might maybe run a small update story on that.
Right.
But yeah, so good news for the school districts. I doubt Donald Trump or Joe Biden care that they won Shoshone County, but it's nice to know where the loyalties lie
here. Sure.
Here. And you know what? 39% turnout for a primary is not terrible.
It's better than normal.
It's better than
normal. It's not great.
No, it's not. We should have always over 50% turnout on every election, but
not voting is like one of my pet peeves. Yeah. In fact, like I'd rather, you know, never mind. I'm not going to make that comparison.
I'm sure we've got a lot of non-voters on here cuz they're like, I don't want to. Actually, a lot of them. I mean, we've got listeners all over the country.
Politicians are all thieves.
We've got listeners all over the world. So I'm sure some of them can't vote in the Wallace School levy.
Well, then you guys that can't vote all over the world, you should be even more upset that there's a like 61% of people in Shoshone County apparently mm-hmm. don't vote, even though they have the right to.
calm yourself.
I won't. Okay. I won't calm myself.
All right.
Calm myself.
Moving on.
No, me.
Josh, it must be a sign.
It must be a sign.
Mm-hmm.
We actually saw some
negative feedback about this. I cannot believe this.
So the Shosho Medical Center, Wellness Center, and Family Medicine Building in Smelterville recently partnered with the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality to put up a $100,000. I found out later on, $100,000 LED reader board sign in front of their building,
mm-hmm,
that would display the air quality that's measured in Pinehurst,
mm-hmm,
as well as the goings-on of the two hospital. Department, the hospital, the wellness center.
And DEQ.
As well as the DEQ.
Yep. This can be seen by the freeway as well.
Yeah, it runs right along I-90. It's a really nice sign. And people were upset about it.
Very upset.
Oh, they had to cut down trees. That's unsightly. I can barely read it. How are you going to measure air quality next to a sewer pond? Well, that's not accurate.
So first off, air quality is measured by the amount of particulate matter in the air.
And it's measured at Pinehurst Elementary.
Correct. So that doesn't mean
anything. It just displays the air quality. And I don't think anywhere in the story did we actually say that.
Right. Sewer particles are not, they don't equate at all in the equation. It's not
it might make your air less fragrant.
Sure, it doesn't smell good, but right. It's not, it has nothing to it matter. It measures the particulate matter that comes out of like wood smoke
and the inversion situation, mm-hmm, and it's, again, nowhere did we ever say that the sign is doing the measuring. It's just displaying the air quality. When you get on your computer and you look at the air quality numbers, do you think your computer is currently measuring the air quality numbers, or it's just displaying the numbers from where it is measured?
That's a very good point, John.
There's the logic you take there.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, I mean, I digress. It's a really cool sign. It's going to display the programs that they have going on there, both at clean burning days. At the hospital, some of the programs they have, like speech therapy, and it's just a cool thing. It's just nice. That building continues to be a welcome addition to that Smelterville community.
Mm-hmm.
And just another way that SMC partnering with another agency to try and help the people here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing about this sign was done with malice or malcontent. It was done specifically to give another opportunity to inform.
Right.
And I think they're doing a good job.
Yep.
They're doing a good job with that.
Perfect. Going to the bottom of the page, fire crews respond to garage blaze. So there was a small fire on... let me click on this here. Personnel from Shoshone County Fire District Number 2 responded to a structure fire in Smelterville around 5:30 a.m. on... I believe this was that day, Thursday. Yeah, Thursday morning. So that would be March 15th. Fire crews came out, basically, structure fire, you don't know what you're showing up to. Shoshone County deputies arrived on scene first, said it was a shop that was accessible by an alleyway. Everything was taken care of, old shop in Smelterville. No reason to panic or anything. There were a few surrounding power lines and a vehicle, but was quickly knocked out by fire crews.
Hmm. Interesting. Also, we had on the side, this was a kind of just a follow-up, Welch enters not guilty plea. Trina Welch, that story was actually written by Ralph Bartolt.
Yes, he was the one who went to her first appearance.
Because her case is being tried over in Kootenai County.
Correct.
She entered a not guilty plea on the multiple charges of wire fraud?
Wire fraud. It's just wire fraud.
Just wire fraud, yeah, not theft fraud. Or anything like that?
It's just wire fraud.
So she,
to clear up one thing, Ralph did put in his story that she has 15 counts. So while the grand jury prosecutors are putting to, she is officially being charged with 15 cases. There's actually counts. 300 counts. Sorry. Yes. Thank you. There's actually 341 falsified checks or bad checks that she wrote from the company to herself. So in my story, I put 341. Ralph put 15 in there. So technically, we're both right.
And realistically, the whole thing's going to be tried, and she's going to be sentenced concurrently. So it makes little to no sense for them.
That's why they did it. Yeah, they're not going to put 341 checks on there. So there are 340. So each check...
it could be a separate count, but they chose 15 that they were pretty
probably confident the 15 of. Most high dollar ones, and then they're just rolling
or out. Ones that they just felt more most confident about.
Right.
In any case, she's facing could be up to 20 years in prison,
and the not guilty plea entered in.
This could change. This is a very fluid situation. She still has a pretrial conference.
It will be interesting to hear what her reasoning, if she does get to that point, if she has co-conspirators or she alleges to co-conspirators.
Sure.
It should be an interesting one to watch, and I think we're obviously going to follow it with interest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll keep it going. Last thing on our front page, we did talk about there was a small blip about the coronavirus on there, but mostly we'll get to that in a little bit. The one thing I do want to mention, though, is that due to the coronavirus and lots of events and businesses being canceled, we are currently not running an events calendar in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
I attempted to. I looked at it, and there was just too many unknowns. A lot of businesses and a lot of events were canceled, and then there's ones that I just couldn't confirm. So I felt it safe that for the time being, we'll just not run a calendar of events because there's just no way of knowing whether or not, especially with a day delay, if that event will be going on or not.
I still hold to the fact that we should run the events calendar and then put a giant red stamp over it that just says canceled.
Canceled.
Almost like the fragile sticker that they put on packages, right. Just stamp it canceled. And I guess that's going to bring us right into our edition that's coming out today.
Yes, Friday edition.
Or Tuesday edition.
Tuesday edition, yes, sorry.
Tuesday, yeah. Tuesday, February 17th? 17th.
No, that's Tuesday,
March. March, not February.
March 17th.
Sorry.
That's okay.
All wrong.
It's all right.
Yeah, that's because yesterday was Austin 316 day, so...
Correct.
I remember.
You're right.
sorry.
Good way of remembering that's, that.
See, it was Monday Night Raw, Empty Arena, Austin 316
Well, there's day. Not much... There's no sports on, so you got to watch what you can watch.
Oh, there was UFC on Saturday in Brazil.
Oh, okay.
It was really awesome to... I made some wings up, and we watched UFC, and my whole family, we were like, oh, live sports, they're back, hallelujah. Josh isn't going to murder the whole family.
Great.
So this edition, we kind of laid out
mostly. So there's two things about the – I'll take it from here. So yeah. Headline is talking about – there are multiple stories here regarding the coronavirus. One of our stories in particular is just the news press's stance on what we're going to do moving forward. We're going to do our best to provide you guys with updates on everything that we've got. That's why this episode is going to be focused on that. Both of our interviews are going to be focused on that. To get that message out, to dissuade, to put down rumors, and let you guys know what the real situation is and what you need to do or what you can do. So the headline on our Tuesday edition is that the Shown County, the commissioners, declared a state of emergency. Now, don't panic about this. It doesn't mean that it's anarchy here.
We're all going to die.
Yeah, it's not. That's the opposite of what it means. It basically is just a formality that is done by many counties, that has already been done by many counties in the state, to open up relief funding. So it just gets rid of a lot of red tape and allows the county to access disaster funds.
Martial law.
It's not martial law. It's not martial law. No one's coming to take your guns. You don't need toilet paper.
However, the one thing that you might responsibly do is do check in with your pharmacies and make sure that if you need to refill medications, because in some of the bigger cities there will be like pharmacies and stuff that are put on hold. I was actually told by a pharmacist this. Just make sure that if you need refills, get those taken care of.
Gotcha. Okay.
That is not being a hoarder. That's called being responsible. And this is what we really want you guys to do.
Yeah, instead of going to Walmart and buying every
bag of toilet paper, no vitamins, and not filling your prescriptions.
Oh yeah, and you can't buy vitamin C or any of these acetaminophen or ibuprofen, and it's all gone. It's all gone.
Get your meds, and you know, just live your life.
Yeah, pretty much.
And live your life like you.
There's not a shortage of anything.
Yeah, live your life like you don't
need. There's a shortage because you've created the shortage.
Right, you the toilet.
You know who you are.
Yeah,
you know who you are.
There are some gross people out there too. You know, I went in there, no toilet paper, but there were a whole mess of flushable wipes.
Mm.
I bought all the flushable wipes.
Okay.
No, I only bought two packs of them, but they are nice.
I believe it.
But no.
Okay, so the headline was specific to the emergency declaration by the county.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they announced that following the lead of basically every other business. I even tried to almost make a list of all the businesses and events that were canceled, but again, it started getting too long, and it's recommended. Well, we'll get to that here in a second. But anyway, county operations are going to be limited. Access to buildings is restricted, like the sheriff's office. Visitors are not welcome. The DMV office is shut down. It's basically it's as needed basis, and so. If you are looking to go anywhere, it's probably a good idea to call ahead and see if they're open. Or if you're going to an event, it's probably a good idea to call ahead and see if it's still
open. If you plan on committing a crime, let them know beforehand if you've been in
China.
No,
crime has been canceled.
Oh, crime has been canceled.
Crime has been canceled because of the coronavirus.
Okay, cool.
It's not safe.
Cool. We're good.
Yep,
should be So along with that, as of right now, we don't know if the Mullen and Wallace schools are still in session.
So the centerpiece on the Tuesday edition is Kellogg School District has announced Monday that school will shut down Wednesday and go all the way through spring break. So we're looking at April 6th, I believe.
So I sat in on kind of almost like a tribunal. It was a very odd clandestine style meeting. They were listening to Idaho State Superintendent Sherry Ybarra. And then following that, the decision was made, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to close down now. And then students were already scheduled to go to spring break from April 1st to April 6th, I believe. So now they're just closing schools two weeks
early. So kids will come back April 7th.
So the kids are coming back,
or
I believe, whenever school was originally supposed to start following spring break.
Okay.
Whatever date that is, let me take a look.
So April 6th.
I venture that they probably were supposed to come back on April 9th. Okay. So school will be back in session April 9th. I am so off. I'm looking at March's calendar. No, they would be back on April 6th. Monday, April 6th.
That's what I said. So in any case, this decision was made not based on any... It, once again, to be reiterated, there are no confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Shoshone County.
Or North Idaho. Or anything north of, Boise? They said everything
Let's say McCall
in,
just to be totally
everything
safe,
was in southern
everything's in southern and eastern Idaho.
And they said central southern.
Yeah,
which is
so
like
there
the
was
twin,
one in Victor and a few in
Yeah, so nothing.
It's all southern cases. Yeah. Now, does that mean that there are no cases here in Shoshone? We'll get into this
one. We'll wait on that.
In any case, Kellogg School District is mostly not because of any fears or anything like that. It's mostly because they held school Monday and there's low attendance.
Right.
Parents are keeping their kids home. So it's basically due in part to low attendance.
They're just
numbers.
Trying to keep that social distancing, man.
Yeah, exactly.
So right now the two easternmost school districts, Wallace and Mullen, are in session. Kellogg is not. That could obviously change.
Josh, you want to read that press release?
That could obviously change within me saying this. We did just get a press release from the Wallace School District, and that press release reads, gotta get my spectacles on. Our leadership team would like to take this opportunity to share our latest thoughts about where we are regarding keeping the Wallace School District open during these challenging times. Rough sentence. Number one, we are constantly in contact with the governor's office and encompassing lists of experts they have access to, including but not limited to State Director of Health and Welfare, Director of State CDC, Center for Disease Control, if you're not aware, Panhandle Health, and an array of medical experts. Number two, we are also in regular contact with the ISBA Executive Director and staff. That's the Idaho State Board of something. I don't know what A, I'm assuming that might supposed to be an E. Number three, we are also in contact with the State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Number four, in addition, we are on speed dial with our Silver Valley colleagues from Kellogg and Mullen. And number five, we meet daily. We all know that these are interesting and challenging times. Our adult role and task is to be good and positive role models. The immediate issues that we are reviewing are the communications from the experts, including the governor's office and the medical people that he is consulting with. Furthermore, we know that there are no confirmed cases in Shoshone County, that there are very limited daycare facilities in Shoshone County, and that short-term closures have been determined as ineffective, and that we know that these are very fluid times. I don't know if fluid's the right word they want to use there. We will continue to be informed and do what is best for children and learning. As always, make each and every day a great day.
All right. So that's the statement from Wallace School District. Nothing out of Mullen, but I'm assuming that they're towing that same line roughly.
I would assume so.
Yep.
Well, they can social distance.
Say the school district is less than 100 kids. So
yeah.
Not different.
And they can just dunk them in the pool. Just let the chlorine get in there. Just like, hey, just aspirate a little bit of this chlorine. It'll go into your lungs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, coronavirus doesn't stand a chance against the Clorox killer.
I don't think so. Okay, so yeah, so we're talking about the school district situation. Also talked a little bit about the business situation going on in Shoshone County. Walmart is, you know, all grocery stores, not just Walmart. All grocery stores have been victims of rampant hoarding and buying, panic buying, like we mentioned before, toilet paper, meats, dairy products.
Ramen,
canned goods. Yeah, it's strange things that are, you know, some of them make sense, some of them don't. But in any case, a lot of panic buying, and for no reason. It's really not that big a deal. All those shelves will be restocked, and you're going to have like 15,000 rolls of toilet paper for no reason. But in any case, it's definitely affected Shoshone County. Unofficially, off the record, lots of cashiers, you know, we've talked in the community, a lot of people from over the hill are coming over, you know, as far as Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, coming over and buying out.
So sections. Arm yourselves. Just kidding. Sorry, providing a little levity to the situation. Don't arm yourselves, but be aware
when there
is not a single paper product in a grocery store that is worth fighting over.
Josh, when you're armed, their supplies become your supplies.
Yes.
Yes.
It's the meme that I saw? It was like gun owners watching non-gun owners stock up on supplies.
Scott, what's his face from the office?
Yeah, Jim standing there looking through the blinds. Yeah, that's good. So, yeah. So, I mean, the cashiers are telling us, just be careful. Sometimes they're even willing to let you know when shipment schedules are.
Well, and so because of this, a lot of stores have implemented one-item limits on certain items.
That being said, if I find you buying multiple brands of toilet paper to fall into the one-item line, I will beat you up. That's just a promise.
Just find you.
Yeah.
Yep.
If I'm in Walmart and I see you buying multiple brands of toilet paper, I'm going to beat you up.
Yep.
I'm just going to walk up to your cart and take them out.
Yep.
Throw them on the ground and be like, are the problem.
You are the problem.
Hoarder!
Could have like a pillow fight, but with toilet paper.
Just, we'll just shame them.
I
think hoarder shaming should be okay.
Is that like the modern day tar and feathering? We just pull out the toilet paper and just wrap them?
No, that's a waste.
Oh, okay.
So then we're being wasteful. Now we're no better than the hoarders.
I don't know. If you mummified them.
Like full-on mummification?
Well, no. Like, we're not going to, like, remove their organs and whatnot.
Oh.
That's real metal.
I could get behind real mummification. He's one of the... What happened to Bill? He's one of the hoarder mummies now. The crowd got him.
Hoarder mummies.
They covered him in salt and wrapped him in Charmin Ultra. He now is...
He doesn't deserve
Charmin Ultra. He's quietly decomposing in the dairy section. So...
It keeps it nice and cold in there because there's nothing to keep cold currently.
I did hear a story about a guy that fell between a cooler and a wall at a grocery store because he was trying to get something off the top. And it happened to be the day that the store was closing. Mm. And he got stuck and the store closed.
Oh, no.
And like 3 years later, they found his body and it was basically mummified.
Oh, no.
Because where he was, the cooler was still active. So the back of it was cold.
Right.
So it just...
preserved him.
Like cold, like freeze dried him.
Well, he was with all the other preservatives, so.
Yeah, he just. Gross.
Gross.
But yeah, so our front page isn't like In terms of our favorite front pages ever, I would definitely venture to say
no. But it's an important topic.
It is an important topic.
And what we're going to do coming up, we'll try to vary things a little bit. But we'll also, you know, talk about we want the stories from these people. People have already stepped up in a big way around here, and we're going to get those stories during these trying times. Lots of businesses have closed, but others are trying to work with people with the social distancing, a lot of curbside pickups, that kind of thing. So we're going to get those stories, and we're going to put them out to you, and we'll keep you updated on whatever goes on. As far as we have no confirmed cases. So.
I think the thing that I'm most pleased about is we were able to get a hold of two professionals today, one in the medical world with Dr. Lawhorn, and then one in the medical world, but from the, like, I don't know, what kind of, it's not like the immediate medical world. She's not a doctor. She's like a disease expert.
Sure.
So, like, the science side and the medical side. Mm-hmm. And that's Catherine. Right?
Yes. Yes. So Hoyer. Catherine Hoyer is the public information officer.
So we've got two really quality interviews for you guys that are going to be super informative. And like I said, you know, there's a lot of hearsay out there. Here, you're going to hear from two people right now, and you can take everything they're saying as gospel truth. Like, you don't have to wonder.
They are literally the experts. Yeah. Take what we say. I mean, you don't believe us. And we like to
I get it. I'm not the most trustworthy looking person.
Say that. We're supposed to be calming the people, Josh.
Give me your news. I am the media.
Okay. All right. We're gonna cut this over right now. No sports, nothing like that. Regional headlines have been dominated by the coronavirus, so we're gonna cut this over to the two interviews and call it good.
All right.
This week's interview is brought to you by Silver Valley Tire. Are you in need of tires? Silver Valley Tire is your official Cooper Tire dealer in Shoshone County. Stop in to see which tire works best for your vehicle and get a price estimate so you'll be prepared when you are ready to make your purchase. Silver Valley Tire is located at 407 West Cameron Avenue in Kellogg, and they can be reached by phone at 208-784-1181. Hey everybody, welcome back, and we are here in the studio, well, actually over the phone, with Catherine Hoyer. She's the public information officer with the Panhandle Health District. Catherine, I'm sure you've had a busy couple of days, or even weeks.
Yes, you could say that. That's an understatement, for sure.
of course, with any one of these... not comparing apples to oranges with like SARS and whatnot, but this is this happens from time to time where a disease in particular, we're obviously talking about the coronavirus, kind of picks up steam with the public, right?
Yeah, so we can compare it to SARS or MERS, as those were also novel, meaning new coronaviruses. So,
okay.
We can certainly compare those. SARS and MERS, fortunately, have not popped back up again. We were able to mitigate that situation and stop the spread. We're hoping to do the same with COVID-19.
Awesome. Okay. So let's break that down real quick. COVID-19, is that just the shortened term for the coronavirus, or?
So, and hi, Catherine, this is Josh. I'm the co-host of this podcast.
Oh my gosh. We
haven't been properly introduced. Now, as I know it, COVID-19, so coronavirus is actually like a really wide term. Like, there are several coronaviruses, correct?
That is correct. So coronavirus just means, is just a certain type of virus. So SARS and MERS would fall under those. COVID-19 is falling under that as well. And coronaviruses can cause something as mild as a cold. Or we're seeing, like with COVID-19, severe illness could result from those as well. But the term that we're using to describe the coronavirus pandemic right now is we're referring to it as COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
CO in the COVID stands for corona, which is indicative of the crown shape, that if you look at a coronavirus under a microscope, it looks like it's... it looks like it has a crown, so that's where they came up with corona.
Okay.
The VI in COVID stands for virus, and the D is for disease. Gotcha. The 19 is for the year that it was discovered. So it was discovered in China in December 2019.
Gotcha. So pretty simple method in identifying it anyway.
Yes.
Gotcha. Cool. So as you mentioned, this started in 2019. We've had a lot of development since then. With anywhere, not just, this isn't limited to North Idaho for sure, but there's definitely a lot of misinformation going around, or, you know, lots of people saying there's two ends of the spectrum. One, you know, it's not bad at all, you know, it's not harming anyone. The others are, you know, panic stricken, like this is the next apocalypse. So I think, and the truth is, you know, obviously somewhere in the middle, or you know, maybe partially one way to the other, but tell me a little bit about that. Like, so what are
the biggest misconceptions out there right now?
Yeah.
So we're receiving a lot of calls from the public, from businesses, from restaurants, and even we got a call today from like a tanning salon wondering if they should close down, just exactly what you're asking, like how serious is this? So right now I can tell you that from the data that we have, 80% of the cases, of confirmed cases of COVID-19, experience a mild illness, which requires zero hospitalization. So that's a great thing. But what we're seeing with communities that have widespread community transmission, so meaning it's spreading widely within their community from person to person, what we're seeing is social distancing and isolation mitigation strategies being put into place in order to stop and slow the spread of a virus. Really, we're doing that to protect our most vulnerable populations. So those that are 60 plus, or anyone of any age who has an underlying medical condition.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's what comes with the thing that we wanted to talk about before we started recording, your most recent press release coming out talking about social distancing and whatnot.
Released a press release with guidance of mass gatherings of 250 or more. Since then, we've had a few more cases pop up in Idaho. We've consulted with the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare, as well as with the other six health districts around Idaho. And we decided that we were going to update that guidance, and a mass gathering will now be defined as 50 people or more. And again, that's really to slow the spread of the virus and to protect those vulnerable populations.
Gotcha. So you mentioned earlier, in 80% of people, the symptoms are mild, you know, requiring no hospitalization. Do you think that factors into, so as far as I know, as of when we record this on March 17th, there are no confirmed cases of the coronavirus in North Idaho. Is that correct?
That's correct. We have a total of 7 cases in Idaho as of, what time is it, 12:15 today.
Mm-hmm.
7 cases total, and they are all in south or south central Idaho.
Gotcha. So you mentioned the not as strong or as prevalent symptoms. Do you think that it has some, so okay, first question, do you think there are there undiagnosed cases in North Idaho?
Quite possibly.
Okay, so going back into what I was saying, do you think the factor of that is just simply people don't know, you know, like they might think they have a cold or something like that, because as you mentioned, for most people the symptoms are fairly mild.
Yeah, so more and more research is being put into that, especially among younger people who may not realize that they could possibly be sick. But also another factor during all of this it's still cold and flu season. When all of this popped up, we were right in the middle of you know, our flu season and other respiratory illnesses that people may be suffering from.
Sure.
So that adds another factor into whether or not somebody may not have known.
Gotcha. Okay. So are steps being taken to try to how do I want to put this? Not necessarily increase testing, but more weed out which ones you want to and whatnot.
Yeah, so what we're doing is we're encouraging providers to risk assess a patient prior to testing to see if they meet some criteria.
And what are those criteria?
We want to rule out any other respiratory illness. So we want to rule out the flu. We want to rule out RSV, rule out pneumonia, just to ensure that those illnesses that are widespread as well can be ruled out prior to testing for COVID-19.
Gotcha. And what are the criteria that you mentioned?
So with our health district, we are asking people if they have traveled to anywhere where there is widespread community transmission, mainly from overseas. But we're asking people if they've had recent travel to China, Iran, Italy, Japan. We're asking them those questions, and then we're also asking if they're experiencing any symptoms. So if they have fever, cough, or shortness of breath.
Gotcha. So, and if say one person, what's the next step? Say they say, yes, I've got those symptoms. What's the next step? Where do you go from there?
So if they wanted to speak to our clinical staff, we have those people, nurses and nurse practitioners available who can further assess them. And then we are able to write orders if we feel it is clinically necessary for someone to be tested.
Gotcha.
You can also go through your primary care doctor. Primary care doctors can write orders if they are doing that within their practices or clinics. They can write orders to have someone tested as well.
Gotcha. Okay. So with the, I don't want to say, it's definitely, it's been declared a pandemic. I don't want to say a panic, but with everybody, you know, it's on everybody's minds right now. We've heard a lot of stuff about, you know, if you're sick, don't call 911, don't flood an emergency room. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I just want to touch on how you said pandemic. So this has been called a pandemic, which it is. A lot of people panic when they hear that word, but
right.
Pandemic only means that a disease has large spread. So in this case, it's a global disease spread at this point. So that's all that means.
Okay.
We don't want people. We still want people to remain calm, and just the words we use definitely have an impact. So I just wanted to clarify what a pandemic means.
Gotcha. Okay.
And what was the question prior to that? Sorry.
Oh yeah, it's fine. The question was, I was asking about. Oh, boy, now I can't remember off the top of my head. Josh, what did I say?
I don't remember.
Okay. Oh, never mind. I guess it wasn't that
it
important.
She had a better answer.
Yeah, your answer was way better. Like, that was pretty good. So we'll just move on. In any case, so next steps. We're looking forward. Obviously, this thing is – it's we have no confirmed cases here. And I think it was recently announced that the area where it first started in Wuhan, China – they're down to like 15 diagnosed cases. So, I mean, does it seem like we're kind of there is a light at the end of the tunnel for this?
Oh, definitely. I think the healthcare system that we have in place, the mitigation strategies that we will continue to implement as we see this virus spread throughout our communities. Those are things that are going to slow down the virus and eventually stop it. The data coming out of China right now is it's very positive. They're seeing more people recovered now than any new cases popping up. So that speaks again to the amount of people who, they only experienced a mild illness. They didn't. Not everyone is. They're not dying from this. This isn't a death sentence. You could experience a mild cold, and you're fine. But we definitely want to implement those strategies in order to protect those higher risk populations.
Gotcha. So, and that's what it all comes down to is, you know, populations over 60, with underlying health conditions or something like that. Because correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that some of the first first casualties of it here in the United States were at a nursing home in Washington.
Yes, and actually the majority of deaths in Washington have come from, an assisted living life care center. So sure. It's important to note, too, is the when we're looking at mortality ratio, you have to look at I don't want to say type of people that are dying, but we're just trying to protect those people the most, our most vulnerable populations, and that's something that the entire community can work together to implement those strategies in order to protect those populations.
Awesome. Okay. Boy, I think we covered the topic fairly well.
Is there really a need to hoard toilet paper?
No. And we strongly advise no hoarding of anything. If you think about what you would need in your home for 14 days, and that would be the maximum that we would ask you, that we would recommend that you isolate if you were a confirmed case of COVID-19 or if you were traveling in a country with widespread community transmission and you were returning to the U.S., we would ask you to self-isolate at home. But technology is amazing these days. We have online grocery delivery. You can have food delivered to your home. You can hop on Amazon and you can have stuff delivered in 2 days. As long as people aren't hoarding and overwhelming the system, everyone can have access to their basic needs.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Awesome. Well, okay, Catherine, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. We'll be following along with any updates you guys put out. And
Okay. Just
if you ever want to come back on when the next COVID-19 comes out or something, you're always welcome on the podcast.
I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
And thanks again to Catherine Hoyer for talking to us about the regional and state and national implications of COVID-19. Now we're going to jump track a little bit here and talk to local Shoshone Medical Center doctor, Dr. David Lawhorn, to give us a little more local perspective on the COVID-19 situation and give some locals some tips on how to handle the situation and move forward. So let's throw it on over to that. Hey, everybody. Capping off our COVID-19 interviews is Dr. David Lawhorn. Dr. Lawhorn, thank you so much for coming in, well, talking to us over the phone today, social distancing and whatnot.
Yeah, happy to be here. I appreciate this opportunity. We really need to get some information out there and talk about what's going on here in the Silver Valley.
Absolutely. So let's just get right into it. We have, as of right now, there are no confirmed cases of COVID-19 here in the Silver Valley. Is that correct?
That's correct. My understanding as of this morning is that in the state of Idaho, there were 7 cases being reported, and I believe all of those were in the southern portion of the state. So right now, we don't have any confirmed cases in this part of Idaho, although I do think it's coming. So I do think we're doing the right thing in preparing.
Gotcha. So we spoke with Catherine Hoyer with the Panhandle Health District beforehand, and we mentioned one of the so while there's not confirmed cases, she mentioned that, you know, people under 60, 80% of people who contract COVID-19 will see, you know, mild to no symptoms. And She said it's entirely possible that that it is here. It's just, you know, people are thinking that is the common cold or something.
That is true. That's a possibility. What's been going on actually for probably the past 2 to 3 weeks right here through Shoshone Medical Center, we've been having daily meetings and actually multiple meetings every day to put in place our screening process and plan for anybody with any sort of respiratory illness with fever that's showing up, not just to the hospital, but also if we're getting calls or questions from other local providers or even the nursing home. So we can have something in place where we can start screening early to begin to track and see what's out there. And interestingly, it has also coincided in the past 2 or 3 weeks with another bump up in influenza type A, which kind of confuses the picture just a little bit more, but just makes us, you know, want to be even more vigilant about tracking things and seeing what's going on in the community.
Absolutely. So one of the biggest risk group right now is people over 60 or with people or in that age group with pre-existing conditions. What are we doing here locally to help that group?
Well, the vast majority of people that we're really most concerned about, the most vulnerable, are actually in the nursing home facilities. And I have personally visited both the Kindred or the Mountain Health and the Good Samaritan, and I think we've got something scheduled coming up with Pacifica to discuss how we're going to plan for things. One of the things that we already have in place is that we are trying to limit exposure to the most vulnerable population. So those in the nursing home, we're hoping to keep them right where they are in place. And if anybody is showing any symptoms at all, or the nursing home is concerned about any upper respiratory infection, we've actually set things up so that we can do swab collections in place in the nursing home without transporting that person outside the nursing home. And then we can run our initial screening tests for flu and RSV 24 hours a day. And as the tests for the COVID-19 become more available, we'll also be able to be sending more of those off with a turnaround of maybe 3 or 4 days. But that's pretty dynamic right now. But the whole goal is to not be moving those people out over to the hospital and expose more people. I know the nursing homes have already started limiting visitors, which is a smart sort of thing. And we've actually done that at the hospital as well. If you were to walk in the door right now, you'd see a big sign with some instructions on it. And literally every person that comes through will sit down and go through a screening process, whether they're a patient or not. And then actually we've sectioned off a part of our waiting room already to be a respiratory isolation area where we will separate people with potential respiratory illnesses, regardless of the cause of those illnesses.
Gotcha. So it's not necessarily, I mean, COVID-19 obviously is the hot button one right now, but I mean, influenza can be just as deadly to somebody, you know, in their later years with pre-existing conditions.
Well, interestingly, that's a great thought there. Some of the differences, though, the influenza tends to have a much bigger effect, neither a more lethal effect on younger folks under the age of 40.
Okay,
which is interesting. Whereas this coronavirus, obviously, the risk increases with age. In fact, there is a lot of good data that is coming out of this, looking at what's happened in the rest of the world and then sort of matching it with what's beginning to happen in the United States. What we're seeing is, if you want to talk in terms of risk factors, overall, when you hear things on the television, for example, and you hear like there may be anywhere between a 2% and 4% mortality rate, that's taken all comers mixed together. But if you start looking at age groups and you just break them down and say the 40 to 50 group, 50 to 60, 60 to 70, 70 to 80, and 80 and over, then you start seeing a big change in the curve. And right now, from all the data that we have, and those people that are 80 years old and over, the mortality rate may be as high as 15% or more.
Wow.
So it is pretty significant. And when you compare that, even if you go back and just talk in terms of the overall mortality rate being somewhere between 2% and 4% for the coronavirus, if you compare that to the overall rate of mortality rate from influenza on any given year, talking a 0.1% mortality rate. So this is why everybody's sort of wringing their hands and doing all this isolation in place, because even though the vast majority of people are going to be doing fine, we haven't really had this sort of pandemic rapidly spreading infectious disease that will be potentially 20 to 40 to even when you get into talking about people who are in their 80s to, you know, 150 times more lethal than the typical influenza system or influenza outbreak in any given year.
Sure. And Catherine also mentioned that, I mean, this, the timing of this, not necessarily great, because it's right in the middle of, you know, cold and flu season.
Right. Right. It is. It is. And for example, got a call last weekend from a friend of mine who was at home with young children. She developed a fever, chills, a sore throat. And her question was, do I go to the clinic? It was like on a Friday evening. Her private doctor's office was closed. I told her, no, don't go to the emergency room. Don't go to the clinic. Give it 24 hours. Call me back and let's talk about where you are. We talked the next day. She said, yep, still having fever, chills, got a sore throat, but haven't really developed a cough, haven't really developed a runny, very congested nose. So I said, well, you know what? Now, yeah, you should probably call first the clinic of your choice, tell them we talked, and that I think you need to go get tested for strep, because this is not fitting the typical mold for either flu or coronavirus. And in fact, they called, yep, they agreed, they said, come in. She went in, and by golly, she had a strep pharyngitis.
Gotcha.
Which sort of underscores, like you were just pointing out, that the normal sorts of infectious disease processes that we see at any given time, and especially during the wintertime, they are still going on, and they're still occurring, and they still need to be addressed and treated. So that's what sort of clouds the picture a little bit, and really that's why we're asking people to call first and discuss with their provider, you know, as to what steps to take or whether or not they need to be seen. And actually even, that's what we're asking at Shoshone Medical Center as well, that people are concerned or having symptoms to call us first at the hospital and speak with one of our nurses or doctor if available, so that we can give some guidance based on the symptoms and things that are going on.
Gotcha. Okay. So we talked before we started recording, talked about misinformation going on. Is there anything that you kind of want to address or any rumors you want to put down?
Well, there. I do think that right now it's probably you know, unlikely that we have anything significant going on right now in the Silver Valley. But we don't have any cases. We've only set off, I think, from the Silver Valley through the hospital, just maybe a couple of tests off in very low risk patients.
Okay.
Due to the way it's tracked all along, we know that when it does arrive, it's probably going to be a relatively quick spike and then fade out pretty quick as well. And the time frame I'm talking about is within, you know, 3 weeks or maybe max a month or so.
Okay.
So it's not like people are going to have to be quarantined between now and, you know, midsummer sort of
thing. Sure.
And like you say, you know, not sure where I was gonna go with that.
You're all good. So kind of what I was thinking of along the lines, I mean, right now, I'm sure you've seen local grocery stores here, a lot of panic buying at the moment. What's something, I mean, obviously toilet paper is more of a panic buy than actual usefulness. What's some good things that people could actually like pick up that would be useful in this type of situation, not just for fighting or staving off COVID-19, but I mean, we mentioned there's so many sicknesses going around. Like, what are the go-tos right now that people should be looking in at?
Yeah, with that's a great question as to what seems to be going on with sort of panic buying and stocking up. Not a bad idea to have enough of what you really need on hand. You know, food and water and you know general necessities to be able to hunker down in place at home for several days, but. I don't think you need to stock up for a month of hoarding. I think it's reasonable just to use some common sense. And as long as the supply chains are are still stocking the shelves here, I don't think you have to go in and scoop up everything. And you got to keep other folks in mind as well that we're all in this together. So I don't think anybody's going to run into any problem just getting enough supplies for a week at a time, maybe just a little bit more than you might do normally. One of the things that has come up repeatedly is, you know, the use of hand sanitizers and what to do.
Yeah.
In that regard, certainly hand sanitizers in some medical studies have been shown to be even more effective than using soap and water. But we certainly encourage people to wash their hands with soap and water every day, and then use hand sanitizers as well. And the other thing that we are doing at Shoshone Medical Center and encouraging people to do is also much more than you might normally consider doing it, but that is to wipe down the high-touch areas, such as doorknobs or countertops.
Or screens.
Or there are so many things. Just be aware of what you have to put your hand on to you know, open a door or do anything, and be aware that then becomes a very common or high touch area.
Gotcha.
That should be wiped down. So, and I'm sure you've heard common sense things about what you can use instead of the hand sanitizers. There's nothing terribly magic about them. They are basically just 60-70% or higher alcohol content. Most of them have the isopropyl, but the ethyl alcohol is actually a little more effective against viruses. But other things such as bleach, if you buy bleach, just standard bleach is about a 5% sodium hypochlorite solution. And even in from the National Institutes of Health and CDC, the recommendation is you can dilute it down as much as 1 to 100, meaning one part of bleach to, you know, 100 parts of water. So you can really dilute it out and it still be very effective.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Against viruses. So even a simple, you know, half gallon or gallon of bleach is going to last you a long, long, long time.
A little goes a long way.
Yes. And you don't want to be using it full strength, because then you're going to be at risk for maybe causing more health problems and burning your skin with it and that sort of thing. So,
sure,
you do get it, is effective. Realize you can dilute it down as much as 1 to 100 and still be very effective.
Gotcha. Well, all right, Doctor, thank you so much for talking with us today. Is there anything else you want to throw in there? I know you mentioned that if anybody has any questions or anything, they can call Shoshone Medical Center. Anything else to add to that?
Yeah, just a couple things. In fact, we would encourage people to call before they think they might need to come in, because we're a federally designated critical access hospital. Usually at nighttime, overnight, we don't have lab and radiology staff 24 hours a day. We typically have to call them in from home. And so we're just encouraging people to call first, call the ER first. We'll talk to you. We'll listen to you, get your recommendations, and or give you recommendations based on the symptoms you have, and maybe save you a trip in, and maybe save you exposure from other people who may be ill that we are treating in the hospital. So give us a call first, and we'll try to give you some good advice on how to approach this in a reasonable way so that we can all stay safe.
Awesome. I love it. Well, all right. Thanks again for calling in. And it's a great interview. We'll maybe we'll have you on another time for, I don't know, another flu season or something like that.
Okay, yeah, would love to do this soon. Maybe even with more updates as we move through this, because there is so much more information to share, and things are changing daily on how we're approaching all of this on a regional type of basis.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks again for coming, talking with us today, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, Chance.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks once again to this week's interview guests for coming in, Catherine Hoyer and Dr. David Lawhorn. We really didn't want to just bombard you guys with COVID-19 stuff. Boy, I can't even talk. But we felt that it's very important, especially right when things are really heightened. Trust me, it will dominate our coverage for the next week or two. It will be definitely something that we pepper in when updates come out. But this in particular, we wanted to make sure that we got all the information out that we could, and really just drove home the point that this is not necessarily something that you should be panicking over, but it's not something that you should be taking lightly either. Just like any cold or flu season, you should practice safe hygiene and really be mindful of what's going on. So in any case, my co-host Josh actually had to skedaddle. He had to head out to put some finishing touches on our upcoming spring sports tab. Hopefully those sports continue on, fingers crossed. But in any case, so we're just going to round out the program here. We'll go back to our normal type of interviews going on next week. So everybody, thanks again for listening in. Please like, comment, and share all of our stuff. As usual, whoever shares the Facebook post first will be entered in to win a hat, Shoshone News Press hat. So please make sure that you do that. And leave us a review on iTunes if you like what you hear. Josh always reminds me. I like to say that I could do this on my own, but I think he contributes more than I think. In any case, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, not iTunes. I don't think you can do that anymore. It's not a thing. In any case, those definitely help us out a lot. We really appreciate you guys spreading the word about us. We really appreciate the listenership. You guys are the reason why this continues on. And just a big thanks all around. So everybody, be happy, stay safe, be clean, and don't get sick. I think that's the biggest thing that we can all take away from this podcast and pretty much everything that's going on right now. So thanks again and have a good week.